I had just moved into the area from the West End and I didn't know anybody. And I got a note through the door, or a poster, inviting me to a drop-in. And it took me about 3 weeks to pluck up the courage. And when I did, I walked into the drop-in and I met Jill and Pauline, who were running it at that time. They made me feel very welcome, very friendly people. And I stayed. That was when my daughter was three. That was in 1995. The building looked quite run down from the outside, really. And I always call it, now I've got to know it and I've been inside, I call it the TARDIS. Because when you go in, you don't realise how big it is. From the outside, it doesn't look big and you don't see the beautiful garden and the space. But when you go inside, it's like, wow, that's my first impression, my first memory of Maxilla.
Mine was very similar. I'd moved into the area when he was about 6 months old, so it would be 87 when I went into Maxilla. Same sort of reason. We had a leaflet through the door, the health visitor told us about it. The health visitors were always in connection with you a lot more. And I did go in the first time. I felt a bit shy because I was a very shy person. So the first time I felt shy, I kind of went in for just a little bit, kept myself to myself, and I went home and I thought, I need to go back again. And I did go back again, and it was a similar thing. It was Pauline who was running the drop-in, and probably a couple of other people, but I can't really remember who it was, because I think when you're that you're still young. Well, I thought I was quite young. It was your shyness. I had a really bad problem with talking to people because I was extremely shy, and the ladies that were in there were already very friendly with each other, so you felt like you were the outsider. But after going a couple of times, and it was like, do you want a cup of tea? And you know, and everybody starts talking to you, you felt much more comfortable. And it was very similar thing. And then I lived in the area anyway, and I first lived in the tower block, so it was a bit scary for me because I never lived in a tower block before, and then it was a new area, so it was venturing out and meeting new people. And if you are shy, that kind of makes it even worse for you, but you've got to push yourself. So the health visitor did help with that. And once we got over there, been there ever since. You were helped a lot, lot more. Mm. We used to have a tuck shop in a little corner. We used to have tuck
Taste
shop.
Taste was 10p.
Chocolate, crisps.
Yeah.
All the naughty things in life that you're not allowed to have now.
It was 10p and 5p.
Yeah, probably
you could
slightly cheaper.
Feed your child
for
15p. Yeah. Some toast and jam, a cup of tea, hot chocolate, warm the bottles. And then Pauline, I remember Pauline having a holiday club where
you could put money in.
She saved up and organised holidays for all the single parents.
Yeah.
So every year they used to go to Southend or somewhere, and she organised it.
Butlins.
She did it for a week, stay in a caravan or a tent or at a hostel, all the single parents with their children. She'd arranged the minibuses, and that was her thing. So people used to come, give her £5, £10. And at the end of August, she used to take everyone away for a week. And she did that out of her own organising. And I remember she was doing it for years, and you could have children's parties in there for... You could hire the parent centre for, like, £20.
Yeah, we used to have
for
parties.
Like 3 hours.
Parties in there.
And so they had birthday parties, and anyone could afford to hold a children's party.
Yeah.
And Pauline would be there, and her husband Tony to look up and help you clear up, and it was lovely.
Yeah,
it was somewhere where
you
were affordable.
It was for the community.
Yeah, and it was for the community. Yeah. They used to have jumble sales.
Lots of jumble sales.
They used to have International Day. Cake sales, raise money for the holidays for people who couldn't afford it. Trips out. They used to take the children out.
A lot more trips.
Yeah, lots and lots of trips out to the cinema, to...
The seaside.
It was the seaside as well as a holiday. And people used to come in as well. If you were interested in sewing, she would have brought someone in. If you were interested in first aid or a health visit or a dentist, she would arrange that during the drop-in. So all them sort of activities.
There was always something going
always
on.
Always something going on. And whatever you asked Pauline and Jill, they would try and arrange it. I was the... when I went to Maxilla, I was in the drop-in first. Then my daughter went into the nursery and they asked me to be the parent governor. So I was a parent governor. And then I got a job looking after a little boy one-to-one. And then he was there for 18 months. So then when he left, I left. And then I did my placement there. And then I got a job there. And I was staff governor. And I was there until it closed. I was associated with Maxilla for 20 years.
Well, how about you?
Yeah, for each child I had, obviously. I used to help a lot. When I had a child, then I'd help in the baby room, help in the toddler room, start helping them out just voluntarily. You didn't have to have all your CRBs and all that sort of thing. It was fine. And plus, you were a mummy there anyway, so people are trusting of you. And I've been connected there since the 80s, late 80s. And then I was working in between each child until I had the last one. And then, I got a job there. Mm. Yeah, in 2007 it must have been.
Mm.
2007 is roughly when I got. And that was just a really part-time, lunchtime job. And then once you got to know everyone and everybody knows you, it was like, we'll pull you in and you could work a couple of extra hours and a couple of extra hours, and then ended up working full time.
Mm.
But I'm not a nursery officer, just a bit more friendly face, I hope, for everyone. And plus, if you've been there already and you know when people are feeling a bit low, a bit not themselves, or need a little hand, or want pointed in the right direction. And of course, because of the community, all of us have been involved with people that are not English speaking and need help just to go to the doctors, just to know how should I make a dental appointment. And I think you've always got to, whether you're a nursery officer or just standing at the door, they need that face they trust to go to in confidence sometimes, to let them know how they are, what's going on. And we've been involved with them for quite a long time now.
It really never ever felt like work. I don't know how.
It's like looking after all your own children.
Yeah. But
you're
also
a mummy already, I think.
Yeah, that helps. But also the staff, for some reason, we got on.
All gelled.
And we gelled, and it was like bits of a puzzle. Whoever came from whatever background, whatever language, whatever age, as a staff team, we gelled, and it was something that you can't. It's a natural thing. It's something that comes naturally. It isn't something you can find. It just happened. It was like you walked into a building, something happened in that building, and it became magical, and we all got on. And we were there. I was there for 20 years, and I have never, ever, ever had a crossword with anybody. And the day that we knew we were closing, and the actual day we closed, it felt like we lost a part of our family that day. And our team split, and it'd never be the same again.
I think at first I just needed a little job to get me back into the flow of things. Mm-hmm. Having five children, I think you needed to get back into the workforce again. And I don't know why I even thought about Maxilla, but I just thought, Noelle was there actually, obviously. So, and she said, oh, there's a little lunchtime job going, why don't you come over? And then just took it from there. And it was really nice. There were still old faces there too. There. And it was really lovely. You felt like you felt quite happy to go. And even though the interview, you're thinking, oh my God. You know, you don't really. I didn't know Christine, but I knew Glynis and I knew Umran.
Mm.
And so Umran at the time, she was really helpful and lovely. And she said, you know, she was going behind Christine's back, this is what you need to say, that sort of thing. Mm. So, yeah. And then you just get, there was just something in there that just pulled you in. And if everybody makes you feel happy and comfortable, it's really hard to leave somewhere like that.
And I think it was the atmosphere, it was the children, it was our parents.
Lovely children.
It was the staff team that it became like a family. And you see the same faces. They had another baby and they'd come back again and again and again. And then in the end, you'd see the children, having children and bringing them back, and you think, oh my God. But the feeling and that flowed through Maxilla was always the same.
Yeah.
And if people left 10 years ago and came back, it was still the same, regardless if the staff team changed a little bit. But you came, you started off as an employer, but you stayed because you fell in love with it. When you come in and you were with us, people just fell in love with us.
And plus, if you love where you
because
work,
we
fa-
yeah,
it's
and then,
always going to be
yeah,
helpful,
when you fall in love with your work mm-hmm. and you love what you do, because it wasn't a, oh, it started off as, yes, I need a job, I need to pay my bills,
yeah,
I'm a
course.
Single parent, I've got three children.
Yeah.
But it ended up with, actually, I don't really care about the money. I love what I do.
Mm.
I love the people, I love the place, I love the children, and I love my friends, who were not colleagues anymore, they were friends. We never said, oh, this is my staff, this is a member of staff, this is my mate, this is my friend Emery, this is my friend Monica, this is my friend Noel, and that's how it was, and this is the boss Christine, but she's all right. And that's how it was.
So what do you think was lost when Maxilla closed in July 2015?
Everything.
A piece of the jigsaw.
Piece of history.
Piece of history.
Community.
Community, mainly.
Community.
Keeping that community together.
Yeah. A central focal point.
Because they are from lots of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Making those mummies feel so happy.
Yeah.
From different nationalities. It wasn't just an English thing. Didn't matter where you came from. You really miss that. And we still get asked in the street now, you know, are they going to reopen?
Yeah.
Are you going to be somewhere else? Are they going to... I said, no. And it was just that little area. But then people came from out of the area too. It wasn't just... We used to have someone come all the way from Acton, Ealing, you know, just for the day. You know, say, oh, we're going to come to Maxilla and then we'll go off somewhere first. You know, we did
and
have lots of parents.
We built up a foundation of excellence. We were outstanding for years. The staff team, and we were outstanding in the staff team as an education. And then we were outstanding in the drop-in as a place where people can trust, where you can come if you've got a problem, or if you just want a cup of tea, or if you just want a chat, or you just want a cuddle. You could come and know, parents walking through the door, strangers walking through the door, you felt welcome. And it did feel like a big chunk of the community has gone. And no matter how you try, you won't replace it.
No.
You can't replace it, because it wasn't just, Maxilla wasn't just one thing. It wasn't because it was a beautiful garden. It wasn't because of the drop-in. It wasn't because of the school. It wasn't because of the head teacher, from the cleaner to the head teacher. It was a combination of everything that fit into a jigsaw that made it Maxilla. There may be, but I don't know, where you could get your baby weight and in 5 years' time bring her into the school. Or, you know, you come in pregnant and then you leave 4 years later, your child goes to primary school, and it would just flow. I don't know any other organisation around here that has it all
actually
under one roof.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And then you've got the freedom of going in the garden.
And you will miss the garden.
Yeah.
Because obviously the same thing we were saying, when people are stuck inside and they don't particularly like to go to a park, but they never come out of their tower block.
Yeah.
And it's true, they don't get to see a bit of grass.
Mm.
So for that particular area, having quite a few tower blocks around it, surrounding it, and really there's new places all building up. They definitely need, they still need something.
Mm.
They should have something. I wish we could go back a year.
I wish we'd go back 10. I miss it.
Yeah, do miss
and
it.
And I didn't think
can't help
I'd
it.
Miss it. But I do.
Of course you do.
I miss everything
can't
about it.
Yeah.
I miss everything about, every single thing about Maxilla I miss.
Sometimes you think maybe it's because we're long in the tooth.
No, I don't. I think it's because I think it's what it represented. I really do.
Yeah, because we still live in the area.
Yeah, and you walk past it every day.
Yeah.
But and I think parents miss it, and I don't think that you could get that back again. I really don't.
I think you'd have. The thing is, if you asked all their staff to come back, if they rebuilt something. I think
we'd be back in
the
heartbeat.
We'd come back. Yeah. And it's just sad, you know, because it's kind of empty promises. They did promise that at one stage. They did promise they'd make a new building.
It feels like an end of an era, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really did. And on the last day, or the last the week building up to it, when you got the children
it
back,
just felt so
and
odd.
It just felt so odd and so sad. And packing those boxes, it just felt so
and seeing
so
the rooms
sad.
Empty.
And then looking at everyone crying in corners, it was just heartbreaking.